This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Kick off hour number three, Optimism Tuesday edition of Three and Out.
For some of us.
He's trying.
Travis Cabb tweets in, I could be wrong, but best case scenario would be we win. Wow. How did I not think of that? Stop the presses.
Stay in reality for a second.
Yeah,
it's almost better.
Just
this
go
way.
Out and get up 56-0, and then just see what happens. Try to hang on.
It's almost better this way.
How's that?
Well, I remember the last time I thought Tennessee might win was that home game, Pruitt's whatever year that was.
First
year. I was like, yeah, I got a chance. They're not very good.
They got a new coach.
Wait, wasn't his first year?
Yeah, Pruitt and Mullen.
Yeah, home game.
First
yeah.
Year. That was the 4-point year.
We had looked all offseason about how the talent on the two teams was pretty close. And then even after the – I remember, and I might look an idiot admitting this, but I don't care. I remember even after the game we said, who knows? Those teams might be the same. We couldn't even hold on to the ball.
Yeah.
We didn't get ourselves a chance.
Right.
That might look like a stupid take now, but at the time, you know.
Yeah, it don't just, look good.
It just – You couldn't even tell because Tennessee was so, I mean, what I call stupid football. Like,
yeah,
just do the basics at least.
What did we have, five turns?
Five or six. It was a bunch. Miss an easy onside kick because everybody just looked at the ball.
Austin Pope gave us hope for.
Until he didn't.
Like.
Until.
50 yards. But he needed to give us hope for 51 yards. Mm-hmm. He didn't. Love Austin Pope, though.
Went to switch the ball at the very worst possible time. I think here's the deal. Here's where I have some hope. I get it. Florida's quarterbacks can run. If Tennessee can slow down the running of the quarterbacks, the good news is Emory Jones will throw a couple that you have a chance to pick off.
True.
And even though he's looked amazing, Anthony Richardson has not seen a team like us. And I'm not saying we're a world beater, but FAU and USF,
they're
not us.
He didn't play against Alabama.
Didn't play against Alabama.
So hopefully he's not – he shouldn't look as fast on his television against us than he did against
Scheme's going to play into that a lot. You know, if he comes in the game, we now know, hey, if you sell out just to go get him because you think he's going to run, he can beat you over the top to some of their receivers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is as – you know, talented of a group as Dan Mullen's had at Florida, but he's got a bunch of guys that are pretty damn good. You know, they've obviously got speed. Going to have to be smart. I think this is a really big opportunity game for a guy like Byron Young. We saw him flash the athleticism against Tennessee Tech. One of your biggest fears in a game like this is they bring in Richardson or Jones is back there and you do everything right and you flush the pocket and the defensive end's chasing and the quarterback's pulling away. I think if it's Byron Young, you still got a chance to catch him and, you know, you can leave your secondary guys back in coverage and they don't feel as threatened to run up and try to tackle the quarterback and, you know, get hit over the top for a big play. So the good news is Tennessee's going up against a couple of pretty inexperienced quarterbacks. Obviously, that's the same for Florida's defense. So Heupel's scheme is going to have to be pretty damn good. I'm interested and excited to watch the chess match between Josh Heupel and Todd Grantham.
Mm-hmm.
Can we scheme up against their defensive line? Can we protect? Can we get a little creative in protection with, you know, backs and tight ends And then if Florida starts to get into a little bit of a routine with, you know, a blitz or linebackers in a coverage, can we take advantage of that? I'm told the linebackers have not been very good so far
for Florida
through three games, particularly in coverage. I'm told the front four is doing a pretty good job of getting pressure with just four or five. If you can pass protect a little bit, might have some opportunities against those linebackers or, you know, deep down the field. It's a Florida defense. They're going to be big. They're going to be fast. And they're going to hit you. If you go back and watch the Bama game, they hit. The question is, maybe they don't respect Tennessee as much. Maybe they're not playing with quite as much effort, and you can catch them on a play here and there where they're napping.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a trick play or something, but, you know, maybe they don't respect you as much athletically, and you can get by them, break a tackle, so on and so forth. Defensively, I have no idea what to expect from Tim Banks. I mean, do you commit one of the linebackers to spy every time? Do you try to, you know, rush wide to contain these quarterbacks who are prone to scramble? And if you do that, do you risk giving up kind of a, you know, pop draw up the middle to one of their running backs or even the quarterback if he's pressured?
I mean, shouldn't we just drop a lot of guys in zone and keep our eyes on the Florida quarterback and, like, the run game? And, I mean, it's not – I'm not worried about Emory Jones picking us apart the way Kyle Trask would.
I'm not either.
Breaking down our zone coverage. I want to put as many guys with
– I mean, he's going to hit some.
I want to put as many guys staring at him as possible because he will lead you to the football, and he's had a propensity to, A, not see zone defenders and not just miss a guy. So if his receiver sits down perfectly in a window, he might miss him to the right or left where it's incomplete, or miss him even worse and throw a pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure I'm looking at him so I can catch that football.
And I think if you drop zone,
it slows them down, too. Right. It makes them earn it.
Well, that's
like
what I'm thinking. Like, I don't think Tennessee's pass rush is going to be just all world on Saturday, but I do think you've got guys like Tyler Barron, like Byron Young, where if he has to hold it for an extra second and a half because he's trying to decipher the zone, maybe one of those guys can break free and, you know, pressure the quarterback there. Knock the ball out. Hit him as he throws. Get a wobbler in the air. Get a little duck action. Go pick it off.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I'm with you. But then the worry is if you do that too early and often, do they just start handing it off to, you know, Malik Davis and those big backs?
Well, you don't have to bail and play deep zone.
Sure,
you can play a lot of zone, but keep guys close to the line of scrimmage for the run game.
Right. No, it's going to be fascinating. I mean, that seems to make the most sense. We'll see what Banks decides to do.
Mm-hmm.
Juwan Mitchell was out. Heupel said yesterday they expect to get a lot of guys that didn't play against Tennessee Tech back this week. Hopefully that means guys like Mitchell, Cooper. I'm trying to think of who else didn't play. Wasn't there a couple more on offense? Well, Jabari Small didn't play. Maybe you can get him back. Mm. Just have to wait and see, I guess. He said we'll know a little bit more Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday regarding Joe Milton. Said he did practice late last week, didn't feel like he was ready.
Isn't it weird, though, he didn't dress out? Like, if he practiced, that he didn't at least, like, dress out as, like, well, an emergency, we would go to him. I guess it's Tennessee Tech, so.
Yeah, maybe they just didn't even want.
So if the Florida game had been last week,
would he have played?
He probably at least dresses out, right?
I would think
even
so.
Even if Hooker's
a
starter. Yeah. We got Milton, we got Bailey, all hands on deck, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a bad idea either. I mean,
if Hooker gets hurt on the first play of the game, they had confidence Bailey could just come in and beat Tennessee Tech.
Right, like, yeah.
But if it's any SEC game, I'm sure it would have been different.
Well, and I think it's – obviously we know Heupel brought Milton in. He was the starter basically, I'm told, a week into fall camp. He's been obviously shaky through the first few games. So if you might – have to lean on Hooker a little bit more. I don't hate the fact that you say, and I'm not saying they're using it as an excuse, but if Milton could have gone and they said, no, let's give Hooker the game reps so that if down the road, and obviously you're not saying this to Milton, but if, you know,
right.
Milton, if Milton doesn't have it again one day, we got Hooker a little bit more prepared for the likes of Florida. The guys were talking on the drive yesterday. I don't know if this is 100% right. I haven't counted. Did we lose 10 seconds per snap once Cooper went down, and then another four once
Man,
Hooker came in for Milton.
I hadn't heard that.
Apparently, our, you know, between plays, it was once Cooper went down, it was 10 seconds more between plays. And then since we've added, once Hooker comes in over Milton, it's another 4 to 5 or 3 to 5 seconds on average.
Wow.
Which is fascinating, to say the least.
Yeah.
Not good, Bob.
No. Not if that's your, not if that's what you're trying to do. Not if that's how you're trying to win.
No.
That's it's interesting.
Yeah, it's not good.
I mean, that
Would explain why we only got 66 plays against Pitt. Not to mention the turnovers. How many did they run against Tennessee Tech? Any idea?
No.
Was it a
probably not that many
plays? I thought it was 80.
80?
79 or 80, I thought.
Okay.
Could be wrong.
That's probably pretty good for that game. I mean, you had a pick six. You know, don't you get a possession there?
Right.
Sorry I've been out of the segment.
It's okay. It's actually been fine.
I've been preparing a tweet to send to Danny White.
Thanks for letting us know. Appreciate that.
Yep.
So
it's good to know.
Solid stuff. Let's see. You had 32 pass attempts, 47 rushes, so that's 79 plays. You had 1 field goal attempts and 4 punts. So 83 plays, including the punts. What do you think about the third down problems? Tennessee, not good on third down. They were 4 of 5 on fourth down, and the one they missed on fourth down, the ball hit Hooker in the feet, and he picked it up and just kind of sailed it a little bit to Fant on the right side. He was wide open for a first down.
I mean, the biggest red flag was that you couldn't block. I mean, third and very, relatively short when you try to run the football, you couldn't just blow Tennessee Tech up and reset the line of scrimmage and get the first down. So I think short yardage is going to be a problem against any SEC team. I'm not saying they won't do well sometimes. I'm just saying it's always going to be kind of a worry. It's like, are we going to are all five of our offensive linemen going to come off the ball the right way? And our tight ends, too. Our tight ends have been better than I expected catching the ball and as bad as I expected blocking. Like
they've
not,
been very, very inconsistent.
They're not
sometimes they just wipe somebody out, and then another time they just whiff.
Speaking of the offensive line, this team, I know a lot of people got upset because we won't go under center. The only play, and even then I would still question it, you should go under center for with this team is if Joe Milton is running a quarterback sneak. This offensive line is not going to get pushed against SEC teams except Vanderbilt. Like, I'm kind of tired of that conversation. Like, there's a reason we're not going under center, and it's because we're not going to win that battle.
I don't think that's the reason. I don't necessarily think you're wrong. I just think that that's not what Heupel does.
There's tons of coaches now that just never go under center.
Sure.
They don't even go under center to victory for
them. I know it was first down and it's Derrick Henry, but the Titans ran a touchdown in out of shotgun from the goal line against Seattle.
Yeah.
I still maintain that play against Pitt, no matter what you call there, if it doesn't work, everyone's going to be complaining you didn't do a different play.
Well, nobody was complaining in the third quarter when Jabari Small ran it in from 1 yard out of shotgun for a touchdown.
Against?
Maybe it was Jalen Wright, Pitt.
Yeah, exactly.
It was Jalen Wright, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they run a sneak and it doesn't work, people are going to say what Davey's saying. Well, why did you knew you couldn't get pushed. Why'd you run a QB sneak? If Hooker keeps it and gets tackles, like, well, why didn't he give the ball off? Or why didn't, you know, they're. When plays don't work, everyone says, well, if you'd have done what I thought you should have done, it would have worked. And that's not necessarily the case.
If the 7 guys they're in to block had blocked more than 4 guys and not left the 5th and 6th guys unblocked, then you have a chance to pick
there,
that up.
There was a miscommunication, and the offensive line and tight ends did not block the play that was called. It was weird, though. Did you see that Hooker said later that last week, none of the calls in the Heupel offense are predetermined handoffs? Like, he was supposed to read it. So I don't know if that was Heupel sticking up for Hooker for handing it off.
Sounds like it. Sounds like
it. And then Hooker said, no, I handed it off based on, which if you go back and watch it, he maybe could have beat that end around, but I don't know that he necessarily made the wrong read. The problem was nobody blocked anybody. And those edge rushers knifed back there
Hooker,
so fast.
Hooker can't watch the interior of the offensive line and decide if they've won or
right. He's
lost
got one
battle.
Read. It's the outside defensive end on the handoff side.
When I think it was like a cat blitz with a defensive back on that play too. I think Like, well, this guy was
he wasn't covering it. He wasn't covering anybody
because we had two tight ends there to block.
Right,
the
that's
end.
What I'm saying. Yeah,
and the guy and the DB comes, and I was talking about this with somebody the other day. He's a lot of times those quarterbacks still, even when they keep it, kind of guess at the last second, and sometimes they guess right and they're like a genius and they walk in for touchdowns.
Right.
Sometimes though, when they guess kind of wrong, that guy like plants right as they decide to keep it, and then they're chicken fighting with the guy 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and they get snowed under, and
right.
It's nowhere near. So, yeah.
I don't. I'd have to go back and watch. Did we have an outside receiver to the right on that play?
Yeah, I think so. Pretty sure.
I know we were short fielded on the right, you know, hash line. Mm-hmm. So a rollout to I like the rollout play there with a guy like Hooker. Maybe an RPO, like if the handoff's just wide open, give it, and if not, roll it, maybe leak a tight end. Especially there, Pitt had already kind of shown the propensity to leave Jacob Warren fairly open. I would have liked a rollout play there. But, again, like if you can't line up and pound it for a yard, not to mention we got the first down to play before.
You throw it there and don't get it, and people are livid. I mean,
probably,
it's the same people
complaining. I just like the ability for Hooker to roll out, and if a defensive back decides I'm going to go tackle the quarterback, and then you throw it over his head to the guy he left for a touchdown, or you know, you pump fake. And Hooker had been running so well, I just would have liked to keep the ball in his hands there. Maybe let him, you know, fire one in or just see if he can power his way into the end zone. But I don't have a problem with it going out of shotgun. Honestly, like it's like Dave said, like I said this last week, if you block it right, maybe he just walks in for a touchdown. I do think in those situations moving forward, nothing against Jalen Wright. Obviously, Tyon Evans and Jabari were out at that point. We probably need to find a battering ram running back for situations like that. And I get it. That's kind of tough. You know, everyone wants Lenneth Whitehead. Davey has heard that he doesn't run with kind of the fire and the effort. And if that's the case, then, yeah, he's big. But if he's going to just kind of tippy-toe back there and get caught behind the line, I don't care. But is Lenneth Whitehead a guy who can just kind of get it, put his foot in the ground, and power forward? If so, hey, congratulations. You're our short yardage back because you have one job, and it's to just run straight ahead as hard as you possibly can. Maybe it's Tyon Evans, and maybe he can do that moving forward. But he was obviously out that game at that time, and it stunk. It hurt. So we'll have to wait and see. How many times, just a prediction, how many times does Tennessee go for it on fourth down Saturday?
Three.
I feel like three is a good number.
They went five times against Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, they wouldn't have at least two of those times, and if this is an SEC game.
Obviously,
when was that play, the fourth down play?
Which one?
The one we didn't get after the weird spot.
Six or so minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
The series before the last one where Hooker threw the interception.
Well, we give up the ball, they go, they punt, and then Hooker throws the interception. So I want to say 6 minutes or so.
I was trying to find it. I can't. Anyway, we'll come back. Stick with us right here. Hour three continues live on Fan Run Radio. Hour three continues live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Fan Run Radio. Pick up some White Claw Hard Seltzer for the weekend. Delicious fruit flavors. Only 1 gram of sugar, 100 calories, 5% alcohol by volume. It's White Claw Hard Seltzer, proud sponsors of the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Talking to the break, you know Mullen, like, part of his thing is to run some pseudo gadget plays. He's not going to be scared to do that.
He loves it.
What's the trickiest play we've run all season?
We haven't. Have we?
I was trying to think of someone. I couldn't really.
The pop pass? Like, we haven't run any double passes.
A little tight end dump.
The little fake the quarterback run, lean down, stand up, and throw it. Is Heupel big? I don't even know. Is he big on the trick plays? Did he do that a lot?
I don't think so. I don't remember Missouri running a bunch with him.
I don't either.
There, but it was a long time ago.
Time will tell. All right.
I mean.
Yes, Dave?
Nothing.
I mean, if there's any moment to kind of, you know, pull them out in a game. I mean, this is, the Pitt game was even. You're obviously huge favorites and everything else.
Huge favorites?
Yeah, and Bowling Green and Tennessee Tech.
Oh, gotcha.
So there was no need in those games.
Mm-hmm.
Pitt was kind of an even game. I guess this will answer our question. Big underdog, especially if you get down like, you know, I don't know, 7 or 10 points kind of halfway through the first half. If it's kind of a gradual whatever, see like, hey, might be time to dial it up, kind of get us back in the game here.
Mm-hmm. I guess the good news is I don't expect this team to quit. I mean, I hate to say that out loud, but so far through three games, they've at least played with good effort for 60 minutes each mm-hmm. time.
It's a good point.
You know, like I think if it gets bad, we'll fight to keep it, you know, somewhat respectable.
Okay.
So when Heupel was at Oklahoma in 2012 was the season, they were known to break out the wide receiver pass every now and then.
Like throw it to him and then he throws it again?
Yeah.
Hmm.
They were big on that with Sterling Shepard when he was there.
Who's our guy? Who's our best receiver passer?
Trying to think if any of them played.
Holiday.
Yeah.
No.
I think Holiday and Callaway played quarterback, right? D. Beckwith played a little quarterback. Yeah, probably one of those guys. Have we run a screen all year?
Like a running back screen?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
This might be a good week to bust out a running back screen. Just saying.
I feel like we should be running all the stuff I see in the NFL every week where they fake a screen to either to usually the most successful play is usually to fake a wide receiver screen and then throw it not completely back against the grain to the other side of the field, but just kind of the other side of the line
mm-hmm.
to the tight end who blocks at first, then releases. And basically you have like one or two of your offensive linemen kind of release immediately towards the running back side, like, hey, we're setting up the screen over here.
Mm-hmm.
And the quarterback kind of looks that way, and then boom, throws back to the tight end, and he catches it with some offensive linemen, and all, like, kind of four of those guys held their block a little longer
mm-hmm.
than released. And it all comes down to timing and blocking. If you time that upright and then block it well, I mean, it's not a, like, you're not trying to hit a 60-yard touchdown, but, I mean, man, that's 15-yard chunk play every time. I feel like we have the tight ends to catch and run with the football like that. Do you think we don't run screens because our offensive line's not skilled enough to hold blocks and then release? And then, I mean, I feel like we're not even, like, getting off guys and getting to the linebackers. That's what I worry. I mean, good inside zone teams, typically, if I'm an offensive lineman and I come off the ball and I don't have anybody right over me, you know, I kind of chuck the guy that's closest mm-hmm. to me to help, and then I go get a linebacker. We just want to engage everybody up front and then go get the next level.
Yeah, then get the extra guys if you're not engaged. I don't know. I'll have to watch that a little bit more closely.
Well, it'll be easier to see this week with a team that with a lot of talent, you know, because their guys mm-hmm. will be fast enough to make us wrong when we don't do it right. Whereas
right.
Tennessee Tech, eh.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell whether, well, that would have been fine. That guy never got there.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a Florida guy, what do you got? You know, we'll be able to know.
Getting Cooper back is going to be the biggest thing.
Yeah, what?
It looked like Cade tweaked his ankle on the tackle,
yeah, do we know
on the hooker fumble. No.
Cade?
The Maids boys just having ankle issues early, it seems.
Okay.
There was a little bit of praise for Dane Davis when he came in.
Mm.
Not sure I'd want his first start to be in the swamp, but I mean, that's a guy who was kind of penciled in as your starter for a while. Obviously, as bad as we've been at guard, I'd really like to see somebody start cross-training on the inside Like, if Cade's good to go and Wright's good to go, can we get one of our next best tackles on the inside to see if we can't get a little bit of help in there? Now, if you get Cooper back and Carvin slides over, you've only got one spot that you've really got to worry about.
Yeah.
But I'm worried about it.
Yeah.
So, can we maybe...
Maybe make something happen
was,
there.
It was, I think Fuader Vez said it, like, this team's a guard short. They're a guard short right now.
Yeah.
You had one more guy you could count on. And we knew that. We knew coming into this season, depth at offensive line was going to be an issue. I don't know how much it mattered, but I'd like to see what this season, where would we be right now if Cooper Mays stays 100% healthy? You know, would that have been enough against Pitt to get a little bit more push in the run game, to get a couple more snaps off,
yeah, maybe,
to protect Milton and Hooker a little bit better? I don't think they called it a high ankle sprain. It was just a tweaked ankle. Can we get him? Is he going to be 100% healthy this week? I did see that the training staff in Gainesville says there's a chance Anthony Richardson could be 100% healed from the hamstring pull this week. Those are tricky. I mean, that's the issue with the hamstring. You finally feel like you're good to go, 100% healthy, and then you open it up one time and you're grabbing at it again. I've seen a lot of Gators say, please don't play him this week. A lot of fans saying, just don't risk it. Like, save him for Kentucky, I believe was the phrase I saw. Save him for Kentucky because we should beat Tennessee bad regardless. Sad state of affairs that it's come to that.
It is, yeah. Yeah, whether you feel like this is the biggest rivalry or not, it should be a game that
but
matters.
It's an interesting kind of topic. I mean, if Mullen goes into the game thinking, I'm not going to play Richardson, you know, we're going to let him be 100% healthy for the next stretch of games coming up, does he wait a little bit too long and then finally go to him and then
did
maybe
he do that with Kyle Pitts last year in the LSU game?
Was it the LSU game?
Yeah, they lost the shoe throw game.
Did he play at all in that
no,
game?
No, he didn't even dress out.
Right, yeah, yeah. I thought you were saying he came in late. No, yeah, he didn't play at all.
No.
Because he was, did we hurt him in that one? Did we bang him up the week before?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Or maybe, he might have hurt early, like, at that game, but they said, no, I don't remember.
I don't either.
It felt like they did that thing, though, where they're like, well, we just got to, you know, get by LSU, and then we'll have him ready for Alabama in the SEC Championship game, which, you know, they still played that game, but they were out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
At that point. I mean, I guess if they win it, are they back in, maybe? Maybe that was the thought process, but I don't know.
Probably. Who was their other loss to? A&M?
They lost at A&M by 3 in week 3.
Yeah, at that point, they're probably back in the conversation. If they were to beat Alabama, yeah.
But anyway. All right, we'll come back with more. Stick with us.
I just did it.
What?
Put money on Tennessee to cover the first quarter.
This segment of the program brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook app. This week, Monday Night Football is Philly and Dallas. Another big NFC East matchup where the teams aren't that good, but it's exciting either way. You can get 3-1 odds and you can pick either team. Got to be Dallas right now, right? And they did at least get the win this past week.
Who are they playing?
Philly? I don't know.
I don't know. Philly they looked really good in week one.
The NFC East, you never can tell. But if you feel good about it one way or the other, you can get 31 odds if you're a new user on FanDuel. And, of course, you can get that same game parlay even if you're an existing user. Opt in, bet $10, and get it back if you don't win. It is the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's FanDuel. We love it. You will as well. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with our promo code 3OUT this week. And you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Use promo code 3OUT so they know we sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager and designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Bonus fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Do it.
Did you watch the game last night?
I did.
Do you listen to the Mannings?
What else is there to watch? Got to watch Peyton and Eli.
I got a little tired of Gronk.
He wasn't on there that long.
He was funny at first. That's about the time I switched over and watched some of the traditional broadcasts a little bit. I like Lewis Riddick.
Riddick's good.
If I could get Riddick, and I don't need the play-by-play. If I just had Riddick and the two Mannings on.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Because, actually, last night it felt like Peyton, it felt a little forced with Peyton early. I felt like Peyton felt like he needed to talk too much.
I kind of noticed that, too.
Eli wasn't giving him much.
Yeah, that was the problem. Eli just kind of sat there.
And I mean, it's great stuff. Like they were he was talking about like out of the gate, like why Green Bay was so bad the week before. What they need to run the ball more. Something about
and Detroit's they did, and they looked really good. Yeah,
and he was really talking about how tough it is on Goff with the new system and having to use the wristband. And, I mean, I loved it.
I don't like how the game is obviously pushed to the background. Like that's not why people watch that broadcast. They watch it for entertainment. And I feel like the game comes secondary.
Well, that's why people watch that broadcast.
Yeah,
they're watching. You can watch the game, but you watch it to hear what Peyton and his guests and Eli are going to say.
A lot of time it's going to be on a split screen. There's going to be talking. You can't really pay that much attention.
Would it be better if you just didn't have to? Like, I don't need to see Peyton and Eli's faces.
Yes,
that's fair.
Why don't they just show the whole game with the score bug and everything, and then just have them talk?
That would make it much better.
See, if you're at my house, Adam, I had the main game on the other TV muted, and then. So I had basically the game on two screens, and then I had the split screen guys. Made it a little better.
Yeah.
I like that broadcast. It's something a little bit different. I do like Lewis Riddick, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they don't need the play-by-play.
I believe he's fine. I mean,
he's play-by-play guy. He's doing a good job.
But Packers, took him a while, but they got it going. Pulled away.
Yeah, I mean... After week one, everyone was wondering, oh, gosh.
They got Aaron Jones going, man. He had four touchdowns.
Four touchdowns, total. Lost his chain in the end zone with his father's ashes in it. That was kind of weird.
Oh, man, I missed that part.
Mm-hmm. But he said his dad would be okay with it. He said if he's going to lose it anywhere, lose it in the end zone after a touchdown. So the grounds crew was on it. I don't know if they found it yet. Man, it's a goal.
So he lost the chain.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't find it, like, right there?
I don't think he knew he lost it immediately, but people are on it. He's got top men searching.
All right.
This wasn't here, but one time Gold's Gym said for like Mother's Day, bring your mom to Gold's for a free workout.
Yeah.
And a dude brought an urn. Thought it was actually pretty clever.
I mean, counts, I think. You're not telling that guy no.
DNA test.
Yeah. If you well, did it's just an empty guy. Urn. Just every year he gets that one free workout. His mom, you know.
Just trying to better himself.
His mom still lives in Fort Lauderdale, you know. She's retired.
It'd take a real monster to turn him away, though.
Or it's like in Due Date when Jamie Foxx doesn't realize that the coffee, the Folgers coffee container is filled with his dad's ashes, and so they drink his dad. GBO.
GBO, indeed.
Thursday night football this week's Carolina and Houston.
Tyrod should be out.
They announced that like right after the game.
Panthers are 2-0. They have a chance to go 3-0 this week.
Need a big game for McCaffrey.
Get the extra half week off. It's a pretty big game for them. Kind of a snoozer for neutral fans. But, you know, it's kind of typical of the Thursday nighter, I guess. So who's playing for Houston at quarterback, Davey?
Davis Mills.
Davis Mills.
Yikes.
Nothing like the Thursday night quarterback starter who you've never seen play before.
He was their third round pick. He's actually their first pick in this year's draft because they didn't have a first or a second round pick. I think before he got drafted to Houston, I actually thought this guy was going to be really, really good. But I don't.
Oh, yeah, the guy from Stanford. Yeah, I remember that.
I don't like the current predicament that he is in.
Yeah.
It could be a very David Carr-esque situation.
I don't know. Tyrod Taylor looked pretty good before he got hurt.
Yeah, but he can run.
Did Brandon Cooks get hurt too? Or am I seeing?
I don't know, but seeing as that's a storyline every single year, it probably is. There's some merit to that.
Who did the Bills play last week?
Dolphins.
They killed the Dolphins 35-0.
Made me so mad.
Had the under on that one.
Is Tua injured now?
Yes.
He
ribs.
Yeah, his ribs. They're thinking about maybe trying a flak jacket, but we'll determine.
He is day to day.
Who's their backup?
Jacoby Brissett.
All right.
Did not look great. Mm-mm. How about Carson Wentz with two sprained ankles.
That guy. I used to like Carson Wentz, but I mean, come on, bro. Like you.
He's lost a lot of explosion. So he's just a dude now.
Something's just wrong with him.
I have to
physically.
Go on a Colts podcast today, and so yeah. I'll get you guys an update there.
Thank you.
What's the early line on Titans Colts for this weekend?
Titans minus -5.
In Nashville?
Mm-hmm.
Is Wentz going to play?
Who's their backup?
Both his ankles are messed up. Jacob Eason.
Who came in and promptly threw a pick on Saturday.
Are they good against the run on defense?
They're pretty good defensively.
Yeah, I mean, their defense can keep them in some games, but, I mean, they obviously got to have somebody make a few plays here or there. And with their quarterback situation, that's just it's a little iffy.
Okay.
Titans should be able to take care of business. Then they get the Jags the week after this?
No, they actually go play the Jets.
Jets. Is it Colts, Jets, Jags?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Wow. Good chance for Titans to be.
At the Jets?
Yeah, they're going up to New York.
Win a few in a row here.
Zach New Jersey. Yeah, good point by you. Zach Wilson coming off of a 4-interception game, so. They asked him if he was seeing ghosts. He played so bad. He promptly said no.
It's just Bill Belichick against a rookie quarterback. He always seems to do that.
How do we feel about Trevor's play through 2 weeks?
I'm watching.
He's what, the Jags?
50% completion, 450 yards, 4 touchdowns, 5 picks.
Rookie quarterback?
Sounds about right.
Are any rookies just lighting it up right now? Didn't Dalton get hurt for the Bears, so it's going to be the Justin Fields show now?
Yeah, I felt bad. They kind of cheered when Dalton got hurt.
Yeah, the Bears.
Andy actually played better than Justin did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Fields did not look very good. Did Trey Lance get less play this week for the 49ers? Felt like it was Jimmy G.
Jimmy had the touchdown pass to Juwan.
We haven't mentioned that. Congratulations.
Yeah, 17-10. 17-11. That was a big touchdown for.
Yeah, Trey Lance did not play against the Eagles at all. So maybe they're going to go with Jimmy G, who has not looked bad. My guy Deebo Samuel continuing to lead 49ers in receiving. 6 catches, 93 yards. Not bad. Not bad at all.
That's the most entertaining division to watch this year, in my opinion, NFC West.
Both divisions in the West have looked great. To start the season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Kyler's, you know, main attraction. And you got, I mean, that division's just loaded.
I don't know. Stafford's look pretty good, too, buddy.
I don't know.
Kyler, though, more flair to his game.
Oh, you think? You think he has a little more flair?
Just a little bit.
Than Matt Stafford, who's good take. Okay.
And plus, I mean, he's not wrong. Up.
It's more about Matt Stafford in that offense for me. Like, it's the Sean McVay show. Matt Stafford now being a better operator than Jared Goff was.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think his first week he had his highest QBR for a single game ever. Like, they're only going to get better.
They're a better Matt.
Cooper Kupp is having an amazing start to the season. He looks like $1 million.
Well, you got Bucks at Rams coming up this week. So
that's a big one.
That'll be a fun offense against a good defense.
I hate how they put it at 4:25, though.
Why?
That should be a Sunday night football game or a Monday night football game.
And then you got Packers at 49ers, so another 2-0 NFC West team at Sunday night.
It's going to be an interesting week for the picks. It's getting down. There aren't going to be many blowouts this week, if any.
Are all three of you guys still in it?
Mm-hmm.
That's neat.
Yeah, I survived last night with the Packers.
Good pick. Good pick. A lot of people thought the Packers were going to roll last night, and like you said, it took them a little bit to get going, but they looked the part.
Jared Goff ain't looked bad, though.
His second half was rough.
Buzz it.
Well, once it started raining, he was toast. You know why?
Small hands.
Baby hands. Yeah. Can't hold the ball in the rain. Sad.
Final segment of the program is brought to you by MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Just go to MyBookie.com and sign up using our promo code Knoxville. That'll allow you to double your first deposit It does come with a rollover, so check the fine print on that. Make sure you go the way you want. But either way, use our promo code Knoxville. That lets them know we sent you right here. We'd appreciate that. It's mybookie.com on your phone or any device, really. Mybookie.com. Easy. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie.
You know, given the circumstances, I thought it was a pretty optimistic show.
It's our job.
Face some adversity halfway through when we learned that JJ was retiring, but Reddick, not Peterson. Is Peterson still on the roster?
Don't say we.
Is Peterson, right. Is he still on the roster?
No, transfer portal, still.
He's just stuck in the portal?
I think so. I can try to find that for you if you want.
It's not like there's any game film available from his time at Tennessee.
No, that's not true. He had a couple snaps here and there.
Everybody wants to dog proof, but I mean, he made sure JJ's daughter had a great birthday, or Christmas, that's what it was, yeah. Got to give him credit where credit's due.
Right.
T. Hodge and Brian Maurer still in the portal. Let's see here. Forgot how big this list was. Emmett Gooden still in the portal. J.J. Peterson still in the portal. Let's see if I missed anybody. Isaac Washington and Martavius French still in the portal. I mean, looking at where some of these guys transferred to, I mean, I guess Memphis is undefeated, so Greg Emerson did pretty good. Malachi Wideman, Jackson State? Really?
Playing for Deion.
Yeah? Well, okay. He was committed to Florida State for a while, so I guess Deion might know him. But no, J.J. Peterson still unseen, unheard in the portal.
Apple talked to the media again this week?
Vol calls tomorrow night. I guess that's the last one, right? Or does he do the teleconference Thursday morning?
The teleconference is
today. Okay.
And Vol calls is tomorrow.
Remember if it's Tuesday
media,
or Thursday.
Media is going to see exactly 0 minutes of practice this week again.
Do we know who's on the call this weekend?
No. Why?
Yeah, I was just curious.
Who do you want?
Doesn't really matter. I'll be doing my own call, so.
You don't listen to it at all?
No, I don't want that to come through and then us get in trouble. So I just turn the volume down and do my own thing.
This says the ESPN College Football Saturday primetime game is Sean McDonough and Todd Blackledge. They were on the call for Penn State-Auburn. I thought they did a pretty good job. I like Sean McDonough and Blackledge. We've had some success with those two guys in the booth. Sean McDonough called the Sterner stumble and fumble. Blackledge has been there for some big games in the past.
Did his voice crack when he called that one?
McDonough?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Not nearly as bad as the Michigan-Michigan State debacle. Surprised he didn't hang it up after that one.
I think it cracked during the Titans-Chiefs.
Did it? He's getting up there in age, you know. It's tough to keep your voice in great shape. But Sean McDonough's good. At least that's what this is. I don't know if that's the team we get. Maybe there's another game that is bigger on ESPN2 or something, but it is ESPN, correct?
Yeah.
Is that a for sure?
7 o'clock? Yeah. You seem a little...
He seems not sure at all. It is ESPN.
Oh yeah, sorry, I was looking at my phone, but yeah, yes, it is
just,
ESPN.
Yeah, we only got a minute or two left. If you could just try to focus and pay attention, that'd be
a little bit longer.
That'd be great.
Finish the show off, and
unless there's a bigger one. Oh nope. I was gonna say West Virginia, Oklahoma are on the ESPN on ABC game at 7:30.
Yeah, that'll be Fowler and Herbstreit, right? Or Davis and Herbstreit? I can't remember if Fowler's doing that now or not.
Is that where game day's going?
Where's that?
Is that where game day is going?
Where?
To West Virginia, Oklahoma.
I wouldn't think so. Is that the biggest game of the week?
I think they might be doing Notre Dame, Wisconsin.
I was going to say Notre Dame, Wisconsin.
Yeah, they'll do that. Jack Cohn playing his old team.
Ooh. A&M at Arkansas? 7 versus 16?
That's the CBS 330.
Yeah, so?
I'm just saying, it could be. Western Michigan coach just tested positive for COVID.
After you beat Pitt, that's what happens. I mean, Wisconsin, they've already got a loss. I would think the A&M-Arkansas game would be bigger, but maybe they don't want to give any pub to the CBS game. I'm not sure how that works. I would think they'd start pubbing the SEC games as much as possible, considering they're going to be the primary broadcaster here shortly. But yeah, pretty good slate of college games this weekend. We can get into that a little bit more tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't wait to...
I can't wait to shock the hell out of Adam Hickman tomorrow. Shock college, not that bad.
I thought you were going to say shock the world and
shock
beat Florida.
Shock the nation! We'll do that.